We've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose. Go ahead and put up Romans 10:10, quick on the screen, and we'll look at Mark 11. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it's with the heart one believes. It's with your heart, the spirit man, the real us, the real you. The man is a threefold being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And, of course, we live in a body. It's with the heart one believes. It's not with your head. It's not with your flesh. So what that means is it's not with your understanding. It's not with how you're feeling. It's with your heart, the inner man. This is where faith is. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Bible faith, God faith, comes by hearing what He said. You cannot have faith beyond what He said. You can't just make some of them say, "Well, I'm going to believe for that." Believe what? Believe who? You can't just pick something out of the air and say, "I'm believing God." Well, people say, "I'm believing God," but then what are they standing on? You either have to have one of two things. You have to have the written Word of God, or you have to have the Spirit must have quickened something to you. It has to be Him. You can't make it up and say, "Well, God told me." Well, that's the problem a lot of times. An individual's, they're making something up, but they believe it's God, and then they say, "Well, I'm believing God," and it didn't work. Well, God's Word never fails. So we believe with our heart, but now we have to release our faith. This is telling us how to get born again. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you believe with your heart, but you say something. Our confession is what we say. And we've been spending some time focusing on that. Mark 11, 23. Go ahead and put that up. You just put 23 up for now. You go to the next one. It says, "Therefore I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart," see, there's your heart. Here it's talking about doubt. We're going to probably talk a little bit about doubt tonight. But it says, another verse that we read in Romans, it says that you believe with your heart. Here it says, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt, where? In your heart. But believes that those things he what?
Says
will be done. Last part. You go to the next one. He will have whatever he says. Notice it didn't say whatever he believes. We need to speak the word. So we've been discussing and focusing on right and wrong thinking. If our confessing or what we're saying is wrong, it's because our believing is wrong. If what we're saying is wrong, it's because what we believe is wrong. You might as well just chalk it up. If we're saying something, that's an indication it locates us. If we're saying negative, speaking negative, then it's because we believe something negative. If our believing is wrong, it's because our thinking is wrong. Because what you think on constantly is going to get down in your heart, and your believing will be wrong. If our thinking is wrong, it's because our minds have not yet been renewed to the Word of God. If we're thinking wrong, it's because we're not believing the truth. We're not believing what He said. So we need to think what God said, believe what God said, and think His thoughts after Him. The Bible contains God's thoughts. The Bible contains God's thoughts. The written Word is what God thinks, is how He thinks. These are God thoughts. When you read the word, these are God thoughts. How can you tell the difference between a devil thought and God thought? God's thoughts will bring life. Satan's thoughts, evil thoughts, things that contradict the word of God, will bring doubt, discouragement, despair. Anything that brings doubt, discouragement, despair, causes you to feel sad, causes you to want to quit. Those thoughts are not God's thoughts, because God overcomes. God is victorious. God is always right. He's always strong. He never has a down day. So anything that would be against that, it's not from God. Those aren't God's thoughts. So if our thinking is wrong, it's because we're not thinking like Him. If it's wrong, it's obviously anything that's right agrees with God. See, there aren't multiple, just the men have philosophies. And, well, do you agree with such and such, or do you agree with such? You realize when you boil it all down, it either agrees with God or it doesn't. You know, there might be bits of truth in different quote-unquote philosophies, different religion. And that's where people get, you know, messed up. There's a little bit of something that looks kind of good, but at the end of the day, if it's not lined up with God's word, it eventually is going to fail. But anything that contradicts Him is wrong. He is the definition of right. Right? He is truth. His word is truth. So if we agree with Him, we're on the right side. This is why even if we get in a tough situation, stay on God's side. Because He's right. Even if we can't see, we don't feel, you know, that maybe the right thing is happening, we can't understand. If we'll agree what His word says is right, and we're on the right side. Even if you don't understand, even if I don't understand, we haven't seen. Can everybody just in this room acknowledge that we don't understand everything? Yes. Anybody want to stand up and say, I understand it all, and let me give you a lesson right now. We'll hear you. No, that's why we have this book. This book contains His thoughts, and it's right. But you and I don't understand everything, and that's not a bad confession, it's the truth. If you say, I understand everything and I see perfectly, then you're saying you see like He sees, and the Bible contradicts that. I don't care who you talk about on the face of the earth, any person, don't care how long they live, they don't see as God sees. The Bible says we see as through a glass darkly, it says in the King James. We see not completely clear. So it's arrogance. It's actually inspired by the devil to stand up and say, well, I don't understand, so forget God. I don't understand why. What happened? Okay, we know we don't understand everything, right? So could there be a gap in our understanding? Of course, there are gaps in our understanding. Mine, yours. Are you guys with me? Yes. If you're saying, well, I don't know, that sounds like, you know, it's a bad confession. It's the truth. Otherwise, you just stated you see like God. We don't. Sorry. Which is why we need to look at the Word and say what the Word says when we don't see clearly. When we don't understand, what we do know is He's right. And eventually, we'll catch up. Whether it's in this life or in the next, when we go before God in heaven, there are going to be some things that we see. We're not going to see everything all at once. I mean, we're not going to exhaust God over the millennia. He is so vast, after billions of years have passed, we still won't know everything He knows. And that'll blow your mind right there. He's infinite. But there are going to be things we get up and we're going to see some things more clearly. when we get to heaven and we're going to say, oh, okay, now I understand what was going on. All right, clear. Clear. But on the, in this life, we don't see completely clear. We may think, well, what? And we have about this much vision, and that's an overstatement. You know, we see about this big, and we're going, well, I don't understand, and there's all this. And God is saying, well, child, if you saw, if you could see what I see, it would be different. Reverend Brian McCallum, who's been on, gone on to be with the Lord now, he's one of my instructors at Rhema, and we had him out here several years ago to speak. Good man. Good Bible teacher, great Bible teacher. But he said this in one of our classes. He said, God is infinitely logical. If you come up with something and you doesn't seem logical, something God is seeing or saying doesn't seem logical, it's because you don't see as he sees. If you saw what he sees, you say, oh yeah, that's it. Exactly. That's what we should do. But we see, and we can't tell what's going on. You know, it'd be like, now, you know, I haven't been in the military, but heard this example, and so I don't pretend to know all about these things, but pretend you have a situation where some troops are going through a certain area, and they have air support or somebody that's high that can see the whole situation. And they can see something up ahead that those people can't see, or somewhere else. And to them, it looks like it's clear, we should go, or it looks like, no, we shouldn't go. And but the air support or the people that are up high are saying, telling them to do something that doesn't make any sense for what they can see. They may say, why? Why can't we go? Or what? You want us to go that way? Now to them, with their perspective, they're thinking this doesn't make any sense. But if you were to see what, you know, the guy in the earpiece can see, you would say, oh yeah, well of course that's what we should do. But on the ground, not so much. Well, how are, what if the people on the ground said, well, we can't see it, forget that guy, we're going on. What could happen? They may be killed. What is coming into play here? Trust, you trust that the person talking to you, that they're doing their job, and they're not going to lead you wrong, right? Well, how much more God? So if his word says something, then we ought to say, well, whether I understand, whether I see, that's right, here we go. Amen. So we want to say what he says. If it doesn't make sense to our thinking, it's because we have to renew our minds so that he is right. If our thinking, it contradicts the word, guess which one is wrong, our thinking or God's word? Our thinking needs to give. We need to reprogram our minds so that it agrees with God's word. And the more we do this, then the more when we see certain situations, we're going to think of it. We're going to analyze it in light of what he said. We're going to say, oh, he said to do this. Well, that's what he said in his word. Okay. Whereas before, we might say, what? That's different. But the more our mind gets lined up with what he said, the easier time your mind has with it, because it's already aligned. It said, well, of course. Well, of course, that's what he said. So if he said it, it's right. Here we go. That's called faith. When we start agreeing with him and it gets into our heart, faith is of the heart, but our thoughts can mess us up. Isaiah 55, 9, he put that up on the screen. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's ways. Thank God he hasn't left us in the dark, though. He laid out his ways in this book. But the way what he tells us doesn't always jive with our feelings or with our understanding, and that's where we need to renew our mind. Now, can you go ahead Can you go back to Mark? I'll just read because I want to get to verse 24. Mark 11, go to 22, we'll read through and then hit 24, and I want to say a few things there. So read this again. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Then we read this before, but we're going to read through to verse 24. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now this next part, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." The Amplified Translation says, "For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it." If you trust and are confident that what you ask for is granted, then you are going to say, "It's mine, I have it now." That is faith speaking. Did you get that? I'm going to read the Amplified Translation again. It says, "For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you." See, if we pray, we believe. Now we are trusting and we're confident that what we prayed for, we have. If we actually trust and are confident that what we ask for is granted to us, then what we're going to say is, "It's mine. I have it." If our believing, if we believe and are confident that what we prayed for is ours, then we're going to say that it's ours. Because our confession, what we say, is our faith speaking. If we say, "Well, I prayed, I asked God, but I don't know why it's not working." Do we believe this? Do we believe that we have it? If I asked God, so just let's read this again. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So you believe that you receive it when you pray, and then you will have. So what are you doing in the time that you believe you receive and you have? Well, as far as you're concerned, you have it. You believe that you receive it. In other words, you believe you took it. Okay? Now, if I believe that, what's going to come out of my mouth? I'm going to say, "I have it." Because as far as I'm concerned, I have it. Now, what does your sense tell you? You don't have it. What does your mind maybe tell you? You don't have it. But what does your faith tell you, what you believe and what God's Word says? I have it. So what should I be saying? I have it. What if it doesn't look like I have it? What should I be saying? I have it. This right here is where we trip up. Because when we start, what did we say earlier? Who is right? God or our senses or our feelings? God, always. Is His Word right? Always. Okay, so if He has stated something in His Word and we're agreeing and He's either promised or stated something that is ours, we agree in prayer, we have it. Now, according to His Word, we have it. According to our senses, we may not. Who are we going to agree with? Him. And if we truly believe that, we're going to say it. And if we say it, even when we don't feel like it, that's where the battle is won, when we speak it out of our mouth, because we are declaring His Word in our situation. We're declaring that He has authority and that what He said is true. This, we move out into this faith realm of believing and saying. The intellect and the physical senses will fight you every step of the way to keep you from moving into this realm. That's because the physical or natural mind, if it isn't renewed by the Word of God, wants to hold us, hold you in the natural realm. There is more than this natural realm. I said there is more than this natural realm. Amen. Where is God right now? He's here, but he is a spirit. Where does he exist? Is he exist just in the natural, the physical realm? No. Where's Jesus? Is he walking around on the earth right now? No. Well, where is he? His spirit's here, but in what realm? He's not in the natural realm. So that means there's a spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm. Where are the angels? Are they in the natural? You take a picture of them physically? Not normally. There's a spiritual realm right now. Well, how can you measure that? You can't with natural instruments. Why is that a surprise? It shouldn't be a surprise. You're talking about two different realms. Well, I can't see it. What does that have to do with anything? There, it's a different realm, but it's real. It exists. It's now. There is a spiritual realm. There are angels in here right now, but you can't see them. If you're going by physical senses, there are no angels. But God's Word says there are. And what do we know about God's Word? It's truth. So should we say, well, I just don't see it. I mean, there are no angels. Well, that would be ignorant. Well, I can't see it. Well, okay. So we already established we don't know a lot of things. But if God's Word tells us, then that's what we agree with, right? It's like this in every area. Every area. There is a spiritual realm. When we step out, we believe what God said, because God is a spirit. God created this natural world through words. When we step into believing him, not just some flaky thing, you don't pull something out of there and say, well, I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to say that that's going to happen. That's where people get off. No, we believe what God said, and we say what he said. That's how things change, because it's his power bringing things into manifestation, what he promised in the first place. There is a spiritual realm, and that is really our realm as spirit beings. We are spirits. We're spirits. Yeah, you're looking at a natural body. Yes, I'm looking at your natural body, but your natural body is going to go into the ground. So is mine. If Jesus doesn't come back, we are not going to live in this natural body, but you will still exist. I will still exist. That is the realm we are part of. Heaven is real. It's a real place. There are real people there. Where is it? Naturally, think about it. So we know our earth, we know the moon, we know the sun, we know the planets, we can see out into the stars. Where's heaven? We're talking about all natural things, and then there's the spiritual realm. Well, you got to take that by faith, but there you can't believe the Bible and not believe that there's a spiritual realm. It's not like a baby step. It's not like that's way out there. You can't believe the Bible. Because where did Jesus come from? And where is he now? And the angels that were in the Bible, you know, at his birth, where did they go? And there's evil spirits as well. Where is it? See, people believe, oh, that's all hocus pocus. No, it's real. It's more real than this. You can't believe the Bible and not believe this. So if we're really spirits, why would we limit ourselves completely to natural things? That's illogical. See, like we said earlier, if we start to actually believe the Word of God, the things that maybe our natural mind thinks are illogical are actually perfectly logical when we start to think like Him. They're exactly right. They're exactly true. The Lord once told Brother Hagin, "So many have barely touched that spiritual realm. Yea, ye enter into it briefly in being filled with the Spirit and speaking with tongues. Why not enter on into it? Yea, go on out, even into the deep things of mine, for surely your every desire shall be granted, and the fullness of God shall be yours to enjoy." Glory to God. See, natural things cannot satisfy the Spirit. Anybody found that out? Oh, sure, there's an amount of pleasure with natural things, but it will not satisfy. God, we are meant to commune with the Almighty. We are meant to dwell and to be in communion with the spiritual realm. Praise God. So we're going to talk a little bit, or just spend a little bit of time, at least the remaining time we have, and then probably more, just talking about wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong confessing. And then we'll flip back to the positive side. But we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the negative side of these things. Wrong confession is a confession. What confession is what you say. Wrong confession is a confession of defeat, of failure, of the supremacy of Satan. To talk about how the devil is hindering you, how he is keeping you from success, how he is holding you back, how he is holding you in bondage, how he is keeping you sick, is a confession of defeat. Such confessions as these simply glorify the devil. Confessions that glorify the devil are wrong confessions. They are the wrong thing to say. Y'all with me? Our confession is proclaiming the truth. The truth is what? God's Word. Declaring something we know to be true, something that we believe. Well, our belief ought to be centered on God's Word. Truth is God's Word. Testimonies that that individuals give in church, that's confessing, that's saying. You know, from time to time we'll have those here. And I'm not saying that about this, but just in general, in the church world, many times they glorify the devil rather than God. Humorously, there's an account that one lady stood up and she was trying to testify, and she said, "The devil has been after me all week, bless his holy name." Now, what she meant to say was, the devil's been after me all week, and he was trying to, at the end, say, "Bless God's holy name." But actually, the way she said it was about right, because she was glorifying the devil. When we state what he is doing and how we're not making it, we're actually giving a testimony of glorifying Satan. When we talk about what God has done and what Jesus has done and what is doing, we're glorifying them. So by the same token, if we talk about what the devil is doing and what he has done, then we're glorifying the devil. And many times people miss it by making the wrong confession. We're saying things that glorify the devil. We lose blessing because it's there. God has given it to us, but we speak wrong. And it ends up defeating. So a wrong confession glorifies the devil, and we don't have any business glorifying the devil as children of God. A wrong confession is an unconscious declaration that our Father God is a failure. Did you hear me? A wrong confession is an unconscious declaration that our Father God is a failure. When we glorify the devil, have a confession that glorifies the devil, they sap the very life out of you. A wrong confession destroys your faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. When you start glorifying the devil, you're hearing yourself speak negative words, and that contradicts the Bible, but you're hearing it. And it destroys your faith. It holds you in bondage. The confession of your lips that has grown out of your faith, or faith in your heart, will absolutely defeat the devil in every combat. When we speak faith from our heart, even in the face of contradictory circumstances, that will be victory. On the other hand, the confession of Satan's ability to hinder you or to keep you from success gives the devil dominion over you. You see, with your mouth, you are either going to give God dominion over you or you're going to give Satan dominion over you. Can you put up Romans 10:9? You go back to 9, please. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or you could say Jesus as Lord. So this is when we get born again. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or you could say Jesus as Lord, that's how we became born again. Touched on this barely last week. We are declaring in our life, He is Lord. That breaks the dominion. We are declaring before all heaven and hell, Jesus is my Lord. That means I believe He is the Christ, He is the risen one, He purchased my salvation. I believe that. We give Him dominion over us. That's how you get born again. And the same way, when we speak God's word, when we declare God's word, we are giving Him dominion over our life in that situation. But when we start speaking evil, when we say how we haven't been able to make it, we can't get over this, why is this taking so long? We are actually declaring that Satan has dominion over us. Consciously or unconsciously, that's what we're doing. And we're actually taking sides against the Word. The Word's truth. The Word is right. And the Word says that we are more than conquerors. The Word says that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. The Word says that we always are led in victory. And when we say, Satan, I don't understand it. You may not even consciously say the devil or Satan, but when you say, I just don't understand why I can't get healed. I don't understand why my kids are acting this way. I don't understand why my employer's against me. We are actually declaring that God's word is not true and that God has failed us. That actually keeps us in bondage. We are declaring with our mouth, because there is a devil, and he goes about looking who he may devour. Well, what determines whether he may devour somebody? We need to agree with what God said and declare what God said. don't give him access. We give him access. Even if we do it unconsciously, we are still giving him access. So here it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is as Lord or the Lord Jesus. That means we are to confess him as our Lord. We are to confess Jesus' lordship over us. Then he begins to have dominion over us and to give place. We give place to him in our life. But when we confess Satan's ability to hinder us and to keep us from success, then even if we are Christians, we are giving Satan dominion over us. 2 Corinthians 4:4, we've looked at this before, but go ahead and put it up, calls Satan the god of this world. It says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He is the god of this world. And we give him authority over us when we confess his ability to hinder us. Now, it could be a permission of ignorance or unconscious consent, but Satan does not care. He is not playing games. This is not a religious, you know, board game or video game where, well, you know, it doesn't matter. He is the author of destruction. He is infinitely worse than any evil you have seen in the earth. It's because of him, and he's all of it put together. And he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he is looking for an inroad to steal, to kill, and to destroy in people's lives. And so he doesn't really care. I mean, think of just a criminal that's hardened. Does he care how he gets access to somebody to steal from him or to rip? Does he care? He doesn't care that you may do it ignorantly. That's actually a preferred method. In fact, how many people on purpose, knowingly, give access to a criminal? Most people don't. They do it ignorantly. You know, they leave something open or they, you know, do something on a computer that they shouldn't, and people are trying to take advantage. Well, he's the father of all that. So he's looking for access to try to come in and steal. It's a consent when we say, We speak and glorify the devil and say what he's been able to do. And like I said, you don't have to say specifically Satan or the devil. You just say why stuff is so bad. Where's God? Why isn't this changing? Same thing. What are we saying? God can't help me. What is that saying? Something is keeping me down. Well, whether we know it or not, there is a God of this world, and we are unconsciously yielding to him. So how do we avoid doing that? We speak what God said. Even though our mouth may want, and we'll get into some more next time, some specific things, but even though we want to say, yield to our mouth to something that it looks like in our circumstance, we don't take sides against the Word of God. When we do that, we are yielding to the wrong thing. We are giving access to exactly what we don't want. So in spite of it, we say truth. What's truth? What God said. Period. What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? And we say that. We speak it. That shuts the door. That glorifies God. That glorifies him. In the face of circumstances, we glorify, we say, God is stronger than this. God is able. You may be hurting in your body, but we say, God is more than able to heal this. We may have thoughts coming to our head about a certain situation trying to bind us and make us afraid. We say, no, God is able. God, this is nothing for him. He is more than able to overcome this. I yield to him. I will glorify him. And when you glorify God, it takes your mind off the circumstance. But speaking it out with our mouth is so important. We'll get into some of that more next time.